And welcome to this Property Life podcast brought to you by Property Wealth System. I'm your host, Sarah Blaney, and I'm joined today with my co-host, Nick Claydon, based up in Edinburgh. How are you today, Nick?
Thanks, Sarah. Yeah, good. Yeah, sun is shining, which is quite a rare occurrence up here. So, pretty good. How are you? How's the South Coast?
The South Coast is also very, very sunny and shiny, which is welcome because, you know, it's been a bit of a rubbish April, if I'm honest. It's been a bit cold.
Oh, you've only got the barbecue up a few times down there.
Exactly. You don't even know what a barbecue is, do you?
How are the palm trees surviving? Doing all right?
Yeah, we still look like Ibiza down here. So all is well in the world. Excellent. Now, Nick, today I really wanted to have a chat to you about some, some books that have really resonated with you, what you're reading at the moment. I was on a masterclass last night with a bunch of investors, and we were chatting about books that changed our perceptions and had little light bulb moments along the way. And I think it was really interesting because there was some on there that were all over the self-development book. And then some people that were just starting out on that were a little bit hesitant about delving into that world. And I think that's something that you know, we all go through, especially when we're starting out, if we're not that way inclined to begin with, don't you think?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. There's so many out there. And I was talking, me and Rick actually were talking about this when we did our Power Up course over the weekend, that, you know, there's so many of these types of books out there, but you kind of have to pick try to draw out the common themes. And throughout pretty much any successful person's podcast I've listened to, autobiography I've read, various self-development, it's going right back to, like, you know, one of the first ones that most people know, which is Think and Grow Rich. It's the same. The messages are the same. They're dressed up in different ways. But yeah, pretty much, you know, the messages are there. So for me, I think it was a process of, you know, just listening to, you know, making the decision, not firstly, that I wanted to, you know, do something different. So I had to, like, you know, start reading and mirroring other people, seeing what other people have done. And it was just a process over time that it kind of twigged that this is the same.
Yeah, it is. There's never a new concept brought out in self-development, I don't think. It is a rewrite or a repositioning of some basic concepts which will be around forever.
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, you know, Think and Grow Rich is a good one, but it's a tough read just because it's kind of old style language, but the message is there. One of the best new ones I've come across actually was Arnold Schwarzenegger's Be Useful. I think if you know, that absolutely nails it for me, and that kind of spoke to me, and I just thought, yeah, makes total sense what you say. I can talk a little bit about that. There's various things like Manifest, The Secret, that are a bit more, I think, less. Well, it's more about kind of, you know, you have your vision and you kind of expect things to then happen, whereas, you know, you've got to actually do something. You've got to have the vision and then take the action. Things don't just happen. They don't just fall out.
A daydream is not enough, is what you're saying.
It's not, no. So, yeah, there's that side of the kind of self-help industry I'm not that keen on. I don't think it gives you enough. But I think it speaks to a certain type of demographic, certain type of people, whereas Arnie's a bit more kind of, you know, straight down the line. It speaks to me a little bit more. He's a bit more, you know, he's probably an extreme kind of driver type of personality, so he's not really speaking to the, you know, more amiable personalities, the more wishy-washy side. It's like, down the line, this is how it is.
I think also when it's mixed with a message from a celebrity who might be, you know, bringing in some of their autobiographical ideas and experiences, it makes it an easier listen or an easier read, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you can relate to it. I think a lot of people have perception of anyone that's been successful, you know, that some people think, oh, they've been lucky, and pretty much when you listen to the stories, there's no real element of luck there at all. It generally comes down to, if you boiled it down, it would be having a clear vision of what you want to do, clear understanding of what you're trying to do. You know, be really clear about that, you know, really boil it down to nuts and bolts of it. Then start, you know, start moving towards it, taking loads of action and overcoming obstacles, like severe obstacles, and just working really, really hard and just keep going. Persistence, resilience, all the things we talked about in the last podcast. And you know, that's where success comes, I think. It's there's no magic wand to wave. There's no real luck involved. Yeah, who's that? I think Gary Players, one of my favorite quotes, you know, the harder I work, the luckier I get.
Yeah.
You know, it's stuff like that. It's, you know, I think everyone who wants to make a change, do something different, needs to understand that there is no shortcut. You know, I think a lot of people look for shortcuts, but there aren't any, really.
Yeah, I think they look for the magic formula that will be handed to them on a plate that they can pay, you know, X amount for, and it's delivered into your inbox, and suddenly overnight it will happen. And that is just so far from the truth. I think it's a confusing world out there for people that do want to change but haven't got that clear vision.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, that's always a starting point, really, is how do I know what I want to do? And so for anyone kind of struggling with that, I've got a new book recently from a podcast. This is from, I think, listening to some high performance podcast, which has some great stories on it. But this book here, Ikigai, right? Japanese it's a kind of Japanese concept of Ikigai basically means finding your purpose, essentially. So, and that purpose, if you follow that, if you find your purpose in life, you follow that, that leads to a long and happy life. That is basically the concept of the book. Again, similar kind of stuff, you know, it's finding out what it is that you want to do. I think a lot of people get stuck in what they fell into. You know, there's a few lucky people out there that, you know, always knew, I always wanted to be a doctor, I always wanted to be, you know, a scientist, I always wanted to do this or that. But I think the majority, you know, didn't know what they wanted to do. And when you're a five-year-old kid, you always know what you want to do, right? You know, when William was five, he wanted to be a cheetah. Cool. You know, and Harry wanted to be an inventor, but now I think he's kind of, you know, he wants to be on the stage. So he's kind of developed, but, you know, that's a tough road ahead of him. But, you know, if he wants to do it, that's great. We'll support that all the way. But I think, you know, as we get older, we kind of lose that, you know, a lot of us lose the creativity around it, and we kind of fall into whatever job you fall into. You know,
I think life batters you a little bit, doesn't it? And you can fall into and get into a stream and keep going on that stream. And before you know it, you're, you know, doing a whatever job that you never ever dreamt of and you never thought existed at the age of, you know, 5, 10 or 15 even, or even 20. And it just is the routine of life that sort of washes you away and brings you in a certain direction, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think there's a lot of, you know, people get a lot frustrated, you know, having to make both you and I know, you know, we want to see something more. And that's why I think this one really, really helped, or can help a lot of people. Because essentially what it does is just make you break it down and think about, how do I find what is my purpose or what I enjoy doing? There's some great tools in this one. You know, I'm quite a visual person, so it's got a nice little visual on the back, which is like a Venn diagram. And look at it firstly. I'll show you there. You can see that. So kind of Venn diagram there. Anyway, the book goes into a lot more detail, but essentially what it starts with is, you know, thinking about, okay, what do you love doing, right? And how do you, you know, you see, you sit down and think about, okay, in the last month, what have I actually done? What elements of what I've done over the last month did I really enjoy? You know, and we're talking with one of the guys on the Power Up course at the weekend. You know, he really didn't like his job, you know, really, really hated his job. But he's been doing it for 20 years. So there's got to be something, some element of it that you like. Otherwise, you know, if you hate every single aspect of it, you know, that's a long time to be doing something like that. Even if I think back to my recruitment days, I didn't particularly like the actual recruiting part of the job. I really did like the managing side, you know, building teams and managing people, seeing people develop and grow, become successful, that's the bit I really enjoyed. And that's the bit that I took into, you know, the future with when I started creating the vision around property and being a mentor in property. So there's got to be something. So that's the starting point. What do you, you know, make a list of the things that you actually love doing, right? Then think about separate lists of what you're good at. So, you know, think about all your the skills that you've gained in life, in doing in your job. Those could be soft skills, or, you know, they could be hard skills, like great at spreadsheets, whatever. Softer skills, you know, employee management, man management, those kind of skills. So think about that, make that list. What am I actually good at doing? Okay. And then think about, okay, so what does the world need? Yeah, what is useful out there? Okay, so, you know, if I'm thinking about my own experience, it'd be, okay, well, you know, what do I love doing? I love seeing people, you know, helping develop people, seeing them grow and develop and become successful. What am I good at? You know, there's some elements of that that I think I'm quite good at. What does the world need? What does the world need? People who are motivated to go out and achieve things and to, you know, create independence and wealth and things like that. Well, yeah, I think so. Then the final one would be, what can you be paid for? What can you monetize? Will people pay you for this? You know, it's great to have all those things, but, you know, you need to then earn from that. So basically, the whole concept of Ikigai is to find that sweet spot where you can be doing something that you love doing, something you're good at, something that is useful, and that you can be paid for. So it's kind of taking you through a process of understanding, well, what, you know, if I can find that thing, then I'll love what I do. So that's been very useful. That's a good one for me, that I think would be very useful for people to do. So
yeah,
kind of different concept to the other really good one that I've recently read, which was Arnold Schwarzenegger's Be Useful. That's much more kind of, you know, this is what you need to do. You know,
so once you found the purpose, he'll help you, or that book helped you create some tools around how to then achieve that.
Yeah, so it's something important with Be Useful. Arnie's one is create your vision. Okay, so this is, if you're struggling with creating your vision, that's what helped you, because that makes you think about, well, what do I actually want to do? What do I want to achieve? So there's lots of, if you get the overall general concept of, okay, well, look, if we broke it down to get somewhere, you need to create that vision, have an understanding of where you're trying to go. Yeah, I think then you need to really break that down into manageable steps. You need to get some strategies around, well, okay, how am I going to do that? What strategy am I going to use to get there? And so in the property world, that's going to be, okay, well, look, I want to achieve, you know, financial independence. That figure is X amount, $5,000 a month, whatever it is. That's what I want to actually achieve. What are the strategies that I'm going to use, or can I use to get there? Well, that could be starting with, you know, if I've never bought property before, probably starting with a buy-to-let. Maybe, you know, rolling that out, if 4 or 5 buy-to-lets, then possibly moving into something like an HMO strategy or service accommodation strategy. Once I've worked out the strategies that I want to get to or want to use to get to where I want to go, then it's like, okay, action. That's the important bit. You know, that's all great, you know, and you can have that on your wall and it all looks lovely. But if you don't actually do something about it, you don't start taking steps and moving forward, it's not going to happen, you know. So that's when maybe you can be bringing in mentors or coaches to help you to actually do the action bit, which is the bit that most people get hesitant about, or, you know, maybe, you know, get a bit scared about actually.
Yeah, I think that's where the fear comes in, isn't it? Because yeah, they might not have thought about the roadmap or that. And again, as you say, that is where surrounding yourself with people that hold you accountable, people who've done it before, whose experiences you can leverage from, it just helps with that fear, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's important to understand that's not a shortcut. Like, that's just kind of accelerating it, and it's unblocking. You know, there are no shortcuts, we know that. You know, there's no magic wand to wave and suddenly there's your property portfolio. It is, right, okay, we'll show you what to do. Well, you've got to go and create the vision, and all of those things will help you, you know, pick your strategy and understand it, and help you take the action that you need to do consistently over a period of time to to get there.
Yeah,
I think, I think that's, you know, when we look at the world of kind of, you know, self-improvement, whatever, that's the bit that for a lot of people is missing. You know, you can read loads and loads of it. So I'm sure we all know people that have read loads and loads of these books, but for not actually taking the important step, which is, all right, now I've got to do something.
Yeah, the implementation.
For it to magically fall out of the sky.
Yes, and I think that's it, isn't it? It's just do a little bit every day. I remember when we lived in Australia, living the dream out in the land of sun, worked in recruitment, which perhaps wasn't totally the dream, but to be fair, we had a great time. And the manager or the owner of the business that we worked for, he used to say, before you go home every night, just do one more thing. And it really resonated with me. And all these years later, it's that hard graft that just do another thing, just do one more, and you'll get closer and closer to what you needed to achieve for that day, that week, that month. And it's just, you know, those simple little things that sometimes stick with you that you think when you're a bit overwhelmed or a little bit feeling lazy or whatever the thing is, if you can keep to some strict disciplines of what you can fall back on to make you go forward again, they're really useful. And that for me was definitely one of them. But I think as we, you know, as you go through your years, you will pick up on different things that resonate at different moments.
Yeah, no, I love that one. That's brilliant. You know, just do one more thing. It's like The Slight Edge, isn't it? Which is another good book, Jeff Olson, The Slight Edge, which is, you know, that's something that's really easy to do. It's really easy not to do as well.
Yeah.
Just that one more thing. So I was like, oh, tired. You want to go home? I've got something to do. You know, I'll just skip the one more thing. Yeah. So that's great. Yeah. I'm going to use that one. Do one more thing. Yeah. Kind of, you know, goes back to, I'm going to keep quoting Arnie's book just because it was the most recent that I really liked. But he talks about reps. You know, he says, you know, for him, it was all about reps. You know, he wanted his vision was very clear and real clarity of vision. You know, I'm going to become, you know, world bodybuilding champion. You know, not just I'm going to be a good bodybuilder, I'm going to be the champion. I'm going to be the best there ever was. That was his vision. Really clear. Okay, what do I need to do? I need to get in the gym. I need to do my reps. You know, could he skip reps? Yeah, easy. You know, I've kind of almost done it. You know, I've almost done the reps, but I'll just leave it there today. But no, you know, it's like he used to chalk it off on the wall. You know, write all the reps he had to do and then tick, 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 and cross them all off as he did them. And essentially you take that and you take that into whatever field you're in. It's like reps. You know, if we're talking about property, it's, you know, all the things we teach you to do, viewings, you know, get out there, view houses, talk to people, you know, make offers, follow up. Really easy to do, also really easy not to do. Yeah. Reps.
Yeah.
I have Arnie's voice in my head. Like everyone knows Arnold Schwarzenegger's voice. You have it in your head. Do the reps. I can't do the accent. But you can hear him. You can hear him say, do the reps.
Yeah. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
There it is. And it's muscle memory as well, isn't it? Yeah. When you do things like that, it is, you know, it is a brain muscle memory. And you'll find that over time, you're not even thinking about doing it, that you're just, it's just habit now.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if ever Carol and I get stuck anywhere, do the reps. Right, what do we need to do? We need to reset, look at the vision, check, are we on track? Okay, what are our strategies? Okay, let's go view some houses. Let's go view some buildings. Let's go and talk to some people. Yeah, that's it. You know, it's just, that's what gets you going, gets you motivated again.
Yeah. I think one for me that I really enjoyed and that I'll fall back on if I, you know, really need to press that motivation or press that sort of overwhelm button and get going again is the 12-week year, because I think it's just really simple. And, you know, there's lots of resources on their website that really help just to focus in and get you doing the little things that will then achieve what you mentioned in the first place.
Well, I don't know that one. Well, I've heard Rick mention it a couple of times. So what's that one?
So I have this on my, let's have a look.
Conveniently placed.
Conveniently placed. There we go. So Brian Moran, the 12-week year. So get more done in 12 weeks than others do in 12 months. And it's based around the premise that if we set ourselves a long deadline of 12 months, we will, you know, various permutations will come from that. But one of them is that you'll wait until the 11th month, then realize that you can't get it done or that it's not as important as it was or whatever, and you just won't do it. Whereas if you split things down into the 12 weeks and you create some very clear actions, and then it's very task orientated at that lower level, but it only lasts for 12 weeks. So you know how we can get distracted by a shiny penny, and you can kind of go, well, I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to do the other, and therefore if I try and do all four at once, it might not be possible, or I might not do them particularly well. If you focus on something for 12 weeks, the next 12 weeks is a new strategy, and you can focus on that. So it's about getting done in the 12 weeks what you might have spread out over a year, but then you've got four lots of those 12 weeks in that year, and imagine what you can achieve. And it's got some amazing resources on the website as well, which are all for free, that you can download and start building your 12-week plan, putting it on the fridge, putting it on your, you know, the side of your computer monitor, putting that focus for the week right in front of you where you can't hide from it.
Yeah, I love that. So yeah, get done in 12 weeks what it takes everyone else to 12 months would be brilliant. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna get that one.
And it is the difference that makes the difference, isn't it? That we've called this podcast today The Difference That Makes the Difference. And it's about, you know, just looking at two people that might be saying that they want the same sort of things, that got the same sort of tools available to them. And one might go forth and succeed, and the other might, you know, give up after whatever time. And why does that happen?
Yeah, I think it happens a lot of the time because people don't have a clear vision. They don't have the clarity of the vision or the depth of what they're trying to actually do. Yeah, it's easy to say, yeah, I want to build a property portfolio, but okay, why? What for? What's it going to do? How's your life going to change? What do you want your life to be like? So if anyone says that to me, I always flip it around and say, well, okay, the property is just a vehicle, right? Property is not the thing. You know, I don't think anyone genuinely really wants to just have a property portfolio for the sake of it, because that's kind of just ego, right? It's what does property allow you to then do? That's what it's for, yeah? So we've got to kind of rewind and go back to the vision. And I think there's a lot of people out there quite cynical about it, and I certainly was when I started this whole, I'm going to have to use the word journey, Sarah. Sorry about that.
Oh, no. He's done it. He's used that word. Apologies, everybody.
Penalty, yeah. But, yeah, you know, when you do start, I was really cynical about it. Vision, just go with it. Just start. Just come on. Just go and buy a house. But, you know, the vision is absolutely critical to being successful. It's, how do you know what to do? Well, how do you know in which direction to go if you don't know where you're trying to go, right?
Yeah.
So that is point one. Some people find this a lot easier than others, but there literally is zero point even going out there just starting to buy houses unless you know why you're doing it. I remember lots of occasions being out on a mentorship, and you know, the first half an hour can get quite emotional because I don't start with, right, let's go and buy a house. And a lot of people want to start with that. And it's like, well, look, my first question is always, why are we here? You know, why are we meeting in a cafe in Bolton? Why are we here? You know, when someone's driven up from London, I've come down from Edinburgh and we're meeting there. Okay. They think we're going, right, let's go and buy some houses in Bolton. I know, why are we here? Why are we really here? What is it that you're actually trying to achieve here? And, you know, it's quite intense, and people, you know, sometimes some of the students get quite emotional there when they actually really think about, what am I trying to do? Why do I want to change something? So, yeah, I would urge everyone at this stage, if they're not quite sure, is to really kind of pin down, what am I trying to do? Why? You know, the why is absolutely critical, isn't it? And I think if you listen to anyone's story, any successful person's story, I listen to a lot of podcasts, I read a lot or listen to a lot of audiobooks, there's always a why there, a strong reason for wanting to do something. And that's what you need to find. Yeah. So start there.
It's important to note as well that everyone's why doesn't have to be a big thing. So, you know, we've had the privilege of meeting an awful lot of people through property and helping a lot of people through that. And we get to hear an awful lot of whys, and some of them are big. Some of them are really philanthropical and worthy, you know, sort of wanting to build orphanages or, all of these sorts of big things. And I think it's important to know that we don't all have to have the big thing that changes the world.
Yeah.
Okay. To just change your small world and to have your vision that just affects those in your immediate circle. It doesn't have to be massive, does it?
Absolutely, no. So, what was your vision? Well, I know what your vision was, but you know, one of your stages of vision was to recreate your Melbourne lifestyle in the UK. And at the time, you lived in Watford, which is not quite Melbourne. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we had the we lived in Australia for many years on the beach in Melbourne, and it was an incredible lifestyle and an incredible time of life. And eventually we did return home. And obviously we missed the sunshine, we missed the beach life, we missed that lifestyle that Australia gave us. And it was very strong vision for us that we wanted to recreate that within the UK. Obviously we couldn't change the sunshine as much, but what we did do was decide we have to move to the sea. We need to live by the coast. We need to recreate some of that. And it was a very strong vision for both of us. And, you know, if I look back on it now, it kind of it happened really quickly. Once we decided, you know, the first thing you do is decide. Yep, that's it. The next step was, well, where? So we literally did a road trip and we traveled a lot of the South Coast to find out where it would be. Then that decision was made. And then it was, well, we'll buy a holiday home there. Okay, that's done.
And just to set the scene, you were both working. I know Rick was working in London, commuting into London. So he was tied, you know, you were tied to Watford in that it was, you know, you still had commitments and you still had work, right?
Correct.
But that didn't stop you just starting, right, okay, let's start taking that action and get down and, you know, buy a holiday home down somewhere on the sea.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it was all the holidays down here. And, you know, after a couple of years, it was kind of like, well, yeah, that's working for us. We're loving that life. We're loving that location. Let's go and do some viewings for houses that we can go and live in. And it is, it's breaking it down into the smaller steps. And then, well, what's keeping us in and around London? If it's an employment, let's look at that. Let's change that so that we're no longer tied to a geography that we don't want to be in. So again, it was lots of moving parts to then, you know, move down. And, you know, we've been here now 5 years. And it is one of those places and one of those visions that have come true that I literally every day when I see the sea, I get that feeling of, wow, we did it. And it's amazing. And, you know, it really grounds you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I you know, obviously known you a long time, so I know you're going through that journey. And the thing for me that is it really stands out, that I think a lot of listeners might pick up on, is you made it sound quite simple in terms of, right, you had this life in Watford, you were working, you're tied to London, and then you just decided to move to the sea, and you did. But I think a lot of people are like, well, how did you actually do that? How did you free yourself from the ties of London? You know, because that, I think, is where the, you know, the strategy and the action came from. It was like, it was inevitable you're going to move to the coast. So, you know, it was almost like the working scenario that was incidental almost. How did you do that? How did you free yourselves up to be able to go and live down on the South Coast and not need to be near London?
We started our own business. So Rick was working for someone in London within the recruitment market. And, you know, you have to back yourself. We knew that we could do recruitment. So we started to a lifestyle recruitment business. That was one of the first things that we did. It was a lot of late nights. I remember being up in our spare bedroom, you know, at 2 a.m, getting LinkedIn connections, building databases. You know, it was a very much, right, tonight we're going to do this and then we'll just do one more thing. Because that's what I was taught back in recruitment in Australia. And there was a lot of late nights, a lot of hard yakka at that beginning stage to build that business.
A lot of reps.
We knew that would free us.
A lot of reps.
A lot of
reps.
Did you do
the reps?
We did an awful lot of reps. Yes, we did. And that was the starting point.
Meetings. Yeah, exactly. Brilliant. Yeah. So, you know, that was just a decision that, you know, this is non-negotiable. We are moving to the coast.
And that's what it was. It was non-negotiable.
Did you put a timeline on it? We are going to move to the coast within X amount of months or years.
Yes. Yes, we did. We had we built a vision board, and that's something that I hadn't ever done before. It wasn't, I'm quite a black and white sort of logical kind of a person, and a vision board just sounded a bit airy fairy to me. However, we both did it, and when you look back on those things, and you kind of keep that vision board, that plan of what you wanted, and then you realize that you kind of did 90% of what's on that board. You're like, oh,
And probably
coincidence? Maybe not.
the 10% you didn't do is probably
Wasn't
things you might have.
important. Yeah, it wasn't important.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and it's great, isn't it? It's when you can look back and see that what you wanted all through those little decisions that you made along the way, it's brought you there. You know that you can do it again.
Yeah, I think that's I kind of I don't know, for me that kind of encapsulates the whole thing, what we're trying to talk about and teach really is it's about lifestyle. It's not about how many properties you got or what your portfolio looks like. It's about, we have one life. It can be short. Things can happen. You've got to make the most of it. And I know, knowing you guys as I did, it was like, yeah, you made that decision. This is what we're doing. This is non-negotiable. How are we doing it? And to make that decision to go, from employed into self-employed, back yourselves, as you said, do the reps. Build that business, also knowing you were building that business, knowing that that wasn't going to be long term, that ultimately it was going to be property that you were going to be doing, and that was a means to an end. So yeah, your vision can have multiple stages, but you've got to look at if you're struggling with your vision, is look at what's the non-negotiables. You've got this one life, you've got to make the most of it. What's the non-negotiables there? If you're unhappy in your work or where you live or what anything about your situation, that's got to be the non-negotiable. This is what's changing. And what we teach is that property can help you to do that. It's one of the methods by which you can, create the life you want.
Absolutely. So to summarize, what are we recommending for anyone that's looking at property or really just looking to change what they've got currently? Where do we start?
The starting point is vision, right? You have to know what is you're trying to do, why. What's the non-negotiables? How do you want things to change? Right. So, if a book like Ikigai can help you to do that, great. There's loads of others. I'd say the first thing is just start listening to some podcasts. Start listening to some audiobooks of people you admire who have achieved great things. Some of my favorites, apart from Arnold Schwarzenegger's one, is like people like Richard Branson. There's Shoe Dog, Phil Knight.
Yeah, I love that one.
There's tons of them. Just look at
Jimmy
people.
Carr, I really enjoyed
Jimmy
Jimmy
Carr's
Carr's.
brilliant. Yeah, Jimmy Carr's autobiography is definitely one of my favorites because it is so unexpected.
Very
Right?
unexpected.
You think it's just a life story. It's not. It's like 50% life story, 50% self-help book. It is brilliant. Highly recommend that one. I mean, there's just too many to mention, but think about people that you like, that have made success in life, and listen to the stories, and you'll start picking out common themes of what they did. And the absolute non-negotiable is doing the reps, doing the work, do the
Yeah.
work.
So get the vision, do the reps, make the plan, get it done, do more reps.
As well, you can't do it on your own. Get
Yes,
help.
true.
That's what can accelerate you. Okay, so let's do a quick fire. Should we list some books and podcasts that help? So for me, podcasts, I listen to High Performance Podcast, Dive with CEO. I also like a couple of history podcasts, which are not really kind of business related, but that's kind of my downtime podcast, if you like. But there's loads of business ones out there that I really, really like, and audiobooks. Sarah, anything you're listening to at the moment?
Yeah, I think from a book perspective, I think we've mentioned some of them. I love Shoe Dog by Phil Knight. I think it's if you want to do the reps, that one does the reps. He really worked hard, didn't he? And he kept it going when it was
Resilience. Talk
when
about
most
resilience.
people would have given up, he kept going. And I think that's an amazing one. I loved the Jimmy Carr. I think Brendan Burchard, High Performance Habits, for me is a practical thing. So once you've got that vision and you've got your plan, Brendan Burchard, High Performance Habits, and the 12-week year are the two that just dissect it into actual, now go and do this. And when you need to switch up and put a different hat on, use these techniques to get you into that hat quicker. so that you can move forward. I think, you know, and they have lots of resources. That's the thing I love, you know, so people that are quite practical, where you need to actually define what the wishy-washy, airy-fairy self-help world's about, that goes into the, you know, now do this and do this and you'll feel like this.
Yeah. Okay, great. I'm going to check that one out. If I go back a bit further, one thing that initially kind of switched me on to all this kind of stuff was Rich Dad Poor Dad and the follow-up, Increase Your Financial IQ, which I believe is actually not in print. I think you can still get them on Amazon. But that kind of boils it down a bit better for me, Increase Your Financial IQ, Robert Kiyosaki. And that kind of was the one that made the light bulb that was just like, whoa, okay, I need to do this. That was that. And then another one that had a similar effect was A 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss.
Yeah.
Nothing really to do with property, but just about mindset. The mindset is just incredible. How to do things different, how to, you know, be creative, think out of the box, you know, question things. Why are we doing things like this? You know, why can't we work smarter? Why can we do things better? It's all that kind of outsourcing a lot of things that you don't need, which is actually a process we are currently undergoing. I have to revisit that. You know, kind of like currently reevaluating, you know, what we do on a daily basis and why are we doing these things? We need to outsource that. So that is our current process and towards our vision of, you know, being able to focus more strategically on our business and not get bogged down in the day-to-day details.
Do you know what I loved for a when you've got a business up and running, it doesn't have to be property, whatever business it might be, is a book by Scott Galloway called The Four, which really delves into Facebook, Amazon, Apple and Google, and, you know, the four horsemen, and talks about their identity, their marketing, the way that they're run, and the very ethos of those companies and how it can relate, I guess, to your business. It's a fascinating read. It's a little bit older now, but honestly, it doesn't age. The concepts are amazing in it. And again, from a business management perspective, I loved The Four by Scott Galloway.
Wow. Sounds great. I'm going to check that one out as well. In fact, you've told me about that one before, so I need to, I think it's on my list. It's definitely on my list.
Great. There's a lot to get through, but it's all good fun. Well, thank you, Nick, for sharing some of your amazing ideas around vision and how we can work on that. Hopefully it has helped a few people to, you know, potentially start to get started, because that's where it starts.
Yeah, it is. You know, just, you know, make the decision. We're going to start. Right. Great. It's a really easy thing to do. Subscribe to the Ivy CEO podcast, a high performance podcast. Really easy. Start listening to some episodes. That's, you know, how you can start very easily. Download an audiobook of one person you admire that's been successful. Stick it on in the car, you know, commutes to work. Get going. That's it.
Get going. Fantastic. Well, thank you. And we will see you again on another podcast for This Property Life.
Yeah. How can anyone listening get in touch?
So if you go to my LinkedIn, it's Sarah Blaney on LinkedIn. That is the best way to contact me. What about yourself, Nick?
Yeah, same. LinkedIn, Nick Claydon on LinkedIn. I am on Instagram, Nick_Claydon_property. You can also connect with us at propertywealthsystem.co.uk. We've got some great episodes coming up. So keep an eye on our podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. You get notified of all the latest episodes. And yeah, we will speak to you soon.